WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So maybe some of you have noticed purple posters in your neighborhood bookstore windows this week. They are announcing the first independent bookstore week, NYC. And we're going to check in with three booksellers right now to find out how they're doing in the face of new competition from Kindles, Amazon, not to mention the superstores. And listeners, we can take your calls on your favorite independent bookstore at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-WNYC. 9692. The three owners with us now are Marva Allen, managing partner of Human Bookstore in Harlem, Christine Onorati, owner of Word in Greenpoint, and Sarah McNally, owner of McNally Jackson on Prince Street in Manhattan. Hello. Welcome to all of you.
Hi. Thanks.
Hi. Thank you.
Who wants to start? Sarah, how about you with what it's like to be a bookseller as an independent in New York today?
Oh, what does that mean? Being a bookseller is such a diverse job. I think it means basically being on the front lines talking to readers. I think that there's no other job, whether it's publishing, whether it's working in a chain, certainly if it's working on a website, where you are constantly interacting with readers and talking to them about books. And we always say that our value in the community is recommending books, and one thing we don't talk about nearly enough is how circular that process is, how much we talk to readers who recommend things to us. And so it really, I feel like I'm the the center of a community of readers.
That's very personal. Christine, you have that feeling too, and you think that's different from a chain store?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that one of the reasons why people like to come to our stores is that personal, you know, experience. Sometimes it's, you know, I think every independent bookstore is its own, individual thing. And, you know, my store is very different from Sarah's store, which is great. And I think customers really appreciate that. They don't sometimes always want to see every book published in the world.
Funny enough, these days with technology, if you buy a book, then Amazon, whoever it is, comes back to you with other books that you may like based
right.
on your purchase.
Right.
So it starts to get very personal. Sometimes a little creepy in that respect. But Sarah, you think what does that face mean?
I find the suggestions on Amazon very tone deaf often, and often absurd, obviously based on algorithms that are not human.
Right.
Marva, I'm sure you feel at the center of a community at Human.
Well, certainly, you know, and I hear all of this, and I know that sometimes big isn't better. And for communities that are very intimate, big is not always better. People do come in for the personal touch, and especially in our bookstore where we focus in a niche market, this experience can never be recreated in a chain store. And so that is a competitive advantage. That does not mean it is not difficult to be an independent bookstore in today's market. But I think the African-American readership is not at the same, it's not at the same point on the deviation curve as the majority market. So, we're looking for ways to differentiate that and make that an important part of our competitive advantage.
Sabrina has an independent bookstore she wants to mention. Sabrina, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to talk about Blue Stockings Bookstore. It's entirely volunteer-run. It's been going for about 10 years, and every single night they have events on race, gender, on democracy, on ecological things, and it's just an incredible community center for authors, for thinkers on the Lower East Side. So Blue Stockings is, for me, a home.
What's the last book they turned you on to there?
The last book is probably Mary Nana Damqua's The Black Body. They had an event for it yesterday. Also, lived through this on creativity and self-destruction, which was studying between, you know, mental illness and creativity. Mm. Really, really great events over there. And the interesting thing is that they've really put me in contact with other authors and other publishers. It's really a home for nurturing thought.
Sabrina, thank you very much. Christine, are there certain books that you think people are buying at Word that they may not be buying as much of in a chain store or online right now?
Probably, yeah. I think so. I mean, I think in general, you know, I'm the buyer for my store, so everything I buy is pretty, you know, subjective to what I like. But I think, yeah, there are some titles that I don't think you'll find on the front table at a Barnes & Noble. But I think that's good. I think that, you know, it makes the store more unique.
And I know each of you, I think, are coming with recommendations for a fiction, a nonfiction, and a children's book for the holiday. Sarah?
Oh, yes. I have, how many should I give?
Give one of each?
One of each. All right. For fiction, I think there's never been a better year to buy books for Christmas. So many wonderful authors have really terrific first-rate books out this year, but I'm going to choose one that's a little off the beaten track, since everyone can find Alice Munro or Orhan Pamuk by themselves. I have in my hands a paperback collection of short stories by Lydia Peel called Reasons for and Advantages of Breathing. It would be a disservice to any reader you know not to give them this book for Christmas. That is all I will say, Reasons for and Advantages of Breathing. And in nonfiction, oh, dear.
I'll tell you what. Let's go around because our time is short, and that was a nice little shout-out to that book. And Marva, what are you looking at? Pick one. Actually, pick one category because we're not going to have time to do all three from each of you, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty fast. I think in nonfiction I must go with Step Out on Nothing by Byron Pitts from 60 Minutes. And for children, an amazing book called Ponesqua, which is a story of a Native American girl trying to find her identity in this world.
Sari, what are you recommending?
Oh, me, Christine.
Christine, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think for kids' book right now, what we're selling a lot of is a book called The Curious Garden by Peter Brown. It's actually a really beautiful picture book about the High Line in New York City, so that's one we sell a lot of. And my manager at Word, her favorite book of the year is The Gone Away World by Nick Harkaway, and she sells that book like nobody's business, and it's a post-apocalyptic fiction, and we sell a ton of those at the store.
Harry in Burlington, what's your independent bookstore?
My independent bookstore here in Burlington is called The Flying Pig. It's actually a terrific bookstore in Shelburne, Vermont. And I love this bookstore because every time I go in there, I'm an author and an illustrator myself. But, you know, and I have a Kindle as well. But, you know, when I go in there to buy books, they kind of know me. You know, they know their book buyers, you know, independently, and they're able to sort
All
of,
right.
you know their brains and just suggest the best reading.
Next time I'm in Shelburne, Vermont. G in Bedford-Stuyvesant, you're on WNYC. Hello, G.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to mention abebooks.com for people who, you know, maybe are living in places that, you know, I mean, New York is great. In fact, I love McNally Jackson. It's one of my favorite bookstores. It's one of the greatest things to happen to to Soho in a long, long time. But ABE Books is a great resource for, like, super rare books, used books and out-of-print books, hard-to-find stuff, and it's online, so it's a great resource, I think.
Great. Thank you. And Dara's got one in Westchester. Hi, Dara. What you got?
Yeah, the Village Bookstore in Pleasantville. It's really great. I don't even know the names of the people who run it. It's a husband and wife team, but they are terrific.
In Pleasantville. Sarah, what about competition from online? I mean, we did a segment like this, you know, years ago when Barnes & Noble was getting so big and Borders was getting so big and starting to push the independent stores out of business. How much is the web your competition?
I consider it almost my only competition at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to come back to what the caller said about abe.com, which is a great place for used books and mostly for out-of-print books. I buy my out-of-print books there. And it is important, I think, that we all as readers band together and fight against creating monopolies in something as important as our literary arts. And I think that is a good way to balance.
Marva from Humane, you wanted to agree?
Yes, I definitely want to agree. I think something such as knowledge and reading and literacy should not be a commodity. It's such a personal journey, and I think we should have personal places like independent bookstores for people to pursue that passion. I think conglomerates are great, you know, but I just can't imagine a bookstore being a conglomerate. I like independent bookstores a lot.
We just have about a minute left. One of our listeners in our Facebook group says, what makes a great bookstore? Once upon a time, I would have said selection, then later community. Now, sadly, I think I would say amenities, good coffee, comfortable seats, numerous outlets, fast Wi-Fi. So, Christine,
I don't have any of those things, so I'm hoping that person will still come in and check out the store. But, you know, one last thing about online versus, you know, bricks and mortar stores is that, you know, that last caller, I think, is indicative of a lot of shoppers right now. He's got a Kindle. He loves an independent bookstore. You know, I think that's what people are doing right now. They're finding their books from a lot of different places. And
Sarah and Marva, your stores actually both do have cafes, right?
We have cafe, we have Wi-Fi, we have great books. You know, and what we and I mean, one of these days we may just add an electronic download. So, you know, I just think it's just a change in market, and we all have to be prepared and ready for it.
So, listeners, you can keep this going on our webpage for this. Go to the independent bookstores page at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to keep seeing independent bookstores that people are recommending or recommend your own and continue to populate the list, this is Independent Bookstore Week, NYC. Is there any kind of aggregated resource for this? Does the week have a website? Yes?
Well, we have a website for the Independent Booksellers of New York City. It's the ibnyc.org.
ibnyc.org. Christine from Word in Greenpoint. Marva from Human in Harlem. Sarah McNally from McNally Jackson in Soho. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.